On Midwest Week, with early voting about to begin, it's time for Iowa residents to make up their minds for governor and many other important races. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Aaron Murphy, Bureau Chief for Lee Enterprises in Des Moines, and you can read his work here in the Quad City Times and Muscatine Journal. So, Aaron, at the top of the ballot, we have the Iowa governor's race, and what sort of issues have Kim Reynolds and Fred Hubbell been talking about?
So both campaigns have kind of centered on a few core issues that they're talking a lot about, and they talk about a lot of issues, but there's definitely a few that each are stressing. Kim Reynolds, the incumbent governor who took over for Terry Branstad last year, is talking a little bit about some of the things that they've done since she took over, did some tax cuts at the state level, did some mental health care reform, did a water quality bill. She touts some studies that say that rank Iowa high among states in the country for, you know, places to live and things like that. So she's doing a little bit of record touting. And then when it comes to her opponents, she's raising questions about Fred Hubbell's business leadership, when in particular when he was CEO of Yonkers, and also raised concerns that he has, in their view, not released a sufficient amount of his tax returns over the years. Fred Hubbell, the Democratic challenger, released just 1 year of tax documents, and they were just the cover pages. They weren't the full details, and they were only for the year after he announced he was running for governor. So it was, we don't have any information from before that. And that's something that the Reynolds campaign has been talking about as well. On the flip side, Fred Hubbell has talked about his time business leadership as a positive. He's highlighted some things he did as Yonkers CEO, and then also helping out the state as involved in the Iowa Power Fund, which gave money to renewable energy projects, and also that he was brought in to help out with the tax film scandal that folks might be familiar with, when Iowa had a film credit for movie projects that turned out it was being abused, and Fred Hubbell was called in by then Governor Culver to help fix that mess. So he's talking about that. And on the flip side, when he talks about his opponent, Fred Hubbell is talking a lot about Medicaid. The state under Terry Branstad decided to turn over management of the Medicaid program to private companies. And ever since then, there have been a lot of complaints from people and family members of Medicaid recipients. Governor Reynolds has maintained that management delivery system, and the Hubbell campaign has been highly, highly critical of that in particular. And they also talk about some issues maybe with the state budget, but the Medicaid is the biggest one that they push against the governor on.
And haven't there been some questions also, Aaron, about Fred Hubbell's property taxes and properties in other states? I seem to remember something about that.
Yeah, that's one of the things. There's been a lot of talk about his taxes from Republicans, and one of those is that he was accepting a tax credit on homes in both Iowa and Arizona. The Hubbell campaign has said that that was just a clerical error on their part, and that they eventually cleared that up. But that's just one of a fairly long list of tax issues, either for Fred Hubbell personally or through companies that he was leading and during his time in the private sector, that they have that Republicans have raised red flags about.
Now, Kim Reynolds, as you said, has only been governor about a year or so. What sort of records does she have so far, do you think?
Yeah, you know, for just having 1 year in office and basically one legislative session, she does have a decent amount of issues and big pieces of legislation, new laws to run on. Now, part of that is helped by the fact that she had the benefit of an all-Republican-controlled state legislature, so they could get things done without Democratic opposition getting in their way. So like I said, some of the big highlights are they did a bill on water quality that created some new funding for water quality projects. And they did a very big bill on reforming the state's mental health care delivery system. Advocates were very supportive of that legislation. And those are kind of the two big bipartisan pieces of legislation that the governor can talk about. And then, like I said, the other big one that they were able to do this year and Governor Reynolds was able to sign was the tax cut bill at the state level. Now, that one has some people who are concerned about that, what that could do to future state budgets. But in the meantime, Reynolds and Republicans are saying that, that's going to be a great thing because it'll mean, you know, lower taxes for Iowa taxpayers.
Now, in the races for Congress in Iowa, is the 1st District the main race that people are watching this year?
I'm sorry, say that again, Herb. Which race? Yeah.
In the races for Congress, is the 1st District the main one that people are watching this year?
Yeah, that's definitely a huge one. That's one, and not just in Iowa, nationally. A lot of people are watching that one. The 1st District is a Democratic-leaning district. There are more Democratic voters there than Republicans. But it is represented currently by a Republican, Rod Blum, who's kind of beaten those odds two straight elections and is going for a third term. So he has been able to defy that voter registration advantage. Now 14 and 16 were good elections for Republicans. Why this district, why this race is so interesting, not just in Iowa, but nationally, is it's going to tell us a lot about how much that those political winds are shifting now back in the other direction. Because if they are what we kind of get a sense of anecdotally and through polling, that it could be a good year for Democrats. If that's the case, that will definitely show up in the 1st District, like I said, because of the voter numbers there. So a lot of attention being paid to that one, and a lot of people, including on the Republican side, feel that this is going to be a really, really tough one for Rod Blum. Abby Finkenauer is the Democrat there. She's a state rep from Dubuque. They think that there's a wide held feeling that that's going to be a really tough election for Rod Blum, and this may be the year that Democrats get that seat back.
And how about the Iowa legislature, Aaron? Are there any major races to watch there?
You know, there's a number of races. How I'll break it down is in kind of the kinds of districts, especially on the House side. The Senate, just because of which senators are up for re-election, isn't going to change, very unlikely anyways. The House side could be interesting, and even though it's a 10-seat advantage right now for Republicans, there are some who feel that Democrats could flip that and win control of the House just in these elections by changing enough of those seats. And there's two specific kinds of seats where that's going to happen. In the suburban districts, where we've seen some voting tendencies kind of shifting towards Democrats, so if that continues and that happens, there's some suburban area districts that could change hands from Republicans to Democrats. And the other area is kind of along that whole eastern Iowa seaboard, so to speak, there in Iowa along the Mississippi River, where a lot of those districts went from Obama to Trump from 2012 to 2016. If those swing back to Democrats again this year, there's a lot of seats in that area, especially in rural areas there in eastern Iowa, that could flip back to Democrats, and we could see a change of majorities in the Iowa House.